method and approach of Tikkun HaMidos, which we've been outlining, apply to the Midah of Chesed. When one's Cheshbon HaNefesh reveals that he's deficient in Gemilas Chasodim, what does the approach which we've been discussing, what does it entail? So let's begin with two stories, and then we'll comment on the significance and importance of the stories. The first one is a very famous one, though sometimes not correctly interpreted. The second one, I think, is perhaps not quite as well known. The famous story with which we're all familiar concerns the woman who comes to the Beis HaLevi before Pesach and tells him that she has a shaila. She wants to know if she can use milk for the arba kasas. So Beis HaLevi stops and he ponders and ultimately responds and tells him, no, I don't think you can, but please wait a minute. And he goes over to his cash drawer where he keeps money and gives her a large sum of money and prevails upon her to accept it. When the lady leaves, so the Bnei Bayis of the Beis HaLevi ask him, a lady comes with a foolish shaila. She interrupts your learning with a foolish shaila. And your response, not only do you treat the shaila with such kovod rosh, but then your response is to give her this large sum of money. How are we to make sense of this? So the Beis HaLevi said, in terms of taking the shaila seriously, he says, if she'll think that I don't take the shaila seriously, then sometime when she will have a serious shaila, so she'll think that that's not important to ask either, and she won't come and ask. So every shaila always has to be validated, always has to be taken seriously. In terms of why I gave her the money, the Beis HaLevi said, it could be that she was never taught that you can't use milk for delicosis. However, she certainly does know about the boss of the cholik. She certainly does know that after eating fleishiks, one doesn't drink milk. If she was considering using milk for the dalikosos, obviously that means that not only is she too poor to be able to buy wine, but she's also too poor to be able to buy any meat or chicken for the Yom Tov Suda. And that's why I gave her the funds that I did. That's one story. Then there's another story about a Chassidish Rebbe who's speaking at Shalashuris. And the ambiance it's late, there's no natural light, no artificial light, and in that atmosphere, which is especially conducive, the Divrei Torah strikes such a responsive chord with the Hasidim that everyone in the room feels as though they're soaring. Then all of a sudden this crude farmer pushes his way to the front and not even speaking Yiddish, speaking whatever the vernacular was, he interrupts and bangs on the table and says, Rebbe, I have a big problem with my horse. The horse doesn't eat. What should I do? So the Rebbe says that what I recommend is that instead of just giving it oats, you give it a few lumps of sugar together with the oats. And then he resumes the Divrei Torah, and the Divrei Torah have the same mesmerizing effect on the Hasidim which had previously had. Until, again, the farmer interrupts and says, Rebbe, I have another problem with my horse, and I have to get your advice about this. It doesn't doesn't pull the wagon the way it used to. Doesn't have the same strength to pull the wagon the way it used to. It limps. So the Rebbe thinks for a minute and says, I think you should check the horseshoes. Maybe they need to be replaced. And if you have those replaced, maybe that would solve the problem. Again, he resumes the Divrei Torah, and again, elicits the same reaction. He has the same effect on the Hasidim. And again, the farmer pushes through. He has another question. At this point, Hasidim are ready to rip him from limb to limb. And the Rebbe stops them and speaks to them in Yiddish, which the farmer doesn't understand, and says, "Don't you understand what's happening here?" He says, "He's not interested in the horse. That's not really what he's talking to me about. What he really wants is, he wants to establish some kind of bond with me. He's searching for some ruchnis. But he has no common language with me. He has no common language with us. He's a poor farmer. When he was 4 years old, 3 years old, instead of being sent to cheder, he was already out in the field helping his father. He doesn't even know Aleph Beis. He can't. When you want to establish some kind of contact with me, when you want to establish some kind of relationship with me, you can come ask me about a pasuk chumash, about a mishnah. You can ask for an eitzah and avodas Hashem. He doesn't know that. He doesn't speak that language. But he has this impulse. He has this desire. He doesn't know how to translate it. The only thing he knows, his whole universe, is the animals on the farm. So that's the only thing he can talk to me about. But that's not really what he's talking about." These are both very, very beautiful stories. One with the Beis Halevi is sometimes mistakenly understood to depict his genius or ingenuity, and while that is obviously uncontestable, that's not the point of the story. The point of that story is not his genius, but rather his sensitivity. The question is, what is it that allowed the Beis Halevi to recognize this woman's need when the other people present hadn't? What is it that allowed this Rebbe to understand what the farmer was really attempting when no one else could appreciate it? So the answer is that we B'teva, people B'teva, are self-centered. Not necessarily self-centered in the crude sense that we generally associate with that term, but self-centered in the sense that we view things from our own perspective. We view the world, we view what happens from our own perspective. And thus, if someone nags us, so we view it and we experience it from our perspective. And from our perspective, that person's a nudnik, and it only takes so long until we lose our patience with him and rebuff him. What both of these stories illustrate is that the Beis Halevi didn't see this woman as intruding with a foolish question and interrupting his learning, which would have been perfectly natural. Right? That's the way, again, I think a person naturally, with that natural self-centeredness that we have, would have experienced the question, much the same way that the Rebbe of the second story also doesn't experience the question, again, from what would seem to be his natural perspective of being rudely and crudely interrupted with the most trivial and petty issues when he's talking about Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam. The common denominator of those two stories is that both of them had transcended this very natural and powerful self-centeredness which holds most of us in its grip. So the question is, how does one achieve what they achieved? What is it that needs to be internalized for us to aspire and work towards that accomplishment? So the most basic emuna, again, which needs to be reinforced with the goal of internalizing. We've spoken about Shivisi Hashem Lenegi Samit. We spoke about the definition of Anova as recognizing one's total and absolute dependence upon the Ribono Shel Olam. It should engender within a person, in the language of the Rambam, in Perek Beis of Yisrael de HaTorah, a recognition of being a Bir Yakala Shvela Va'afela. Now, if a person really, really internalizes that, again, a sense of being absolutely dependent and therefore beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that orientation is just totally antithetical to this kind of self-centeredness. Self-centeredness basically means, again, that one's life revolves around oneself. And again, that's the lens through which you see everything. That's the filter through which everything is processed. But if a person, and within the realm of Tikkun HaMidos, this certainly has to be amongst the most difficult and arduous tasks. Everything we've been talking about is a process. Nothing is a question of binyong, bin laila, of achieving overnight. But certainly this has got to be one of the most difficult, one of the most arduous tasks, is that a person's whole orientation is, one's identity is, again, not me, but one's identity is that one is, again, totally beholden to the Ribono Shel Olam. One is totally beholden to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's, again, that sense of anava, of dependence to, upon, and being beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that allows a person to rise above, again, the self-centeredness, which is just so pervasive within us, so much a part of us. And that's, again, certainly what we have to strive for in terms of, again, not only seeking to practice chesed, but seeking to become Baalei Chesed. And again, the importance of that is twofold. Number one, as the Rambam says in Shmona Pokim, when it comes to Mishpatim, so a person is not supposed to simply practically comply with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, but one should be attuned to what the Torah tells us. It should be something which a person feels is natural and right. So clearly that requires, again, not only that we practice chesed, but that we be Baalei Chesed. But even more importantly, or at least equally importantly, perhaps more importantly, as the two stories we mentioned illustrate, ultimately, if a person is only committed to practicing chesed, but not trying to become a Baal Chesed, so there will be countless occasions and opportunities which a person simply doesn't recognize. There are countless occasions and opportunities which cry out to us, but we're deaf to, because again, if a person is only committed to practicing chesed, but hasn't developed himself as a Baal chesed, so then one only hears a foolish question about Dalet Kosos, one only sees a rude intrusion and interruption during Divrei Torah. And it's only a Baal chesed who recognizes the crying need for chesed in these situations. Okay, but let's move on to a related topic, also ben Adam L'Chavero, in terms of Kibud Av V'Em. Again, moving on in one's Cheshbon HaNefesh, so one finds himself deficient in Kibud Av V'Em, which it's difficult to imagine any of us not coming to that conclusion, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin says that Abaye says that he was fortunate, that he was born an orphan, because he doesn't think he could ever have satisfied the demands of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So what hashkafos should a person be focusing on, should a person be reviewing with the goal of internalizing in order to correct himself, to correct this midah of not being sufficiently vigilant about, meticulous in Kibud Av V'Em? So obviously, again, every situation is different. There are different dynamics in different situations, and as we've mentioned previously numerous times, really everything we're talking about always has to be individualized. But that modah notwithstanding, certainly a person who is blessed to have a fundamentally sound relationship with his parents. Parents are basically good parents. So here the hashkofa, which needs to be understood and internalized, because I'll say, if they weren't Ma'amar Chazal, I think we would say that it borders on the blasphemous to say it. But Chazal say in the Gemara Kiddushin that Hishva HaKosuv Kvodam Kibud Av V'Em L'Kavod HaMakom, and Hishva HaKosuv Mogo'om Mora Av V'Em L'Mora HaMakom, which is absolutely staggering. Absolutely staggering. Okay, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro L'Rabos Tamid Yechachamim. Okay, at least you have that bond of Torah. So, somehow or other, but even there, originally, who was it? Shimon HaTemoni, whoever it was, thought that you couldn't put anything in the same category as the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was ready to abandon his whole midah of darshaning esed, because what can you be marbe alongside Sashem al Kachatira? Come Chazal, and they say, no, not only can you be marbe talmidei chachamim in es Hashem al kachatira, but you can say that hishva hakosuv moro'am lemora shamayim. How can you equate anything to mora shamayim? How can you equate anything to kavod shamayim? So the answer is, and if you look very carefully, Rabbeinu Bachya says this in Chovos Halvavos, not commenting directly on these Ma'amari Chazal, but the basic yesod, which we're discussing, you'll find in the Chovos Halvavos. The love which parents have for children defies any rational understanding. Any rational understanding. The Mesiras Nefesh, which parents are ready to show the children in every realm, is just something which is basically, Yeah, basically superhuman. And what Chazal is saying is that really that capacity which parents have for this kind of just totally altruistic love for children is really one which the Ribono Shel Olam implants within them as a way, as a channel of showering his chesed and his love upon us. And a person should recognize, again, that the love and the just innumerable chasodim which one's parents do for him is a reflection of the Ribono Shel Olam's love and infinite chasodim that he does for us. And that's what it means. Hishma hakosuv moro'on and kvodom l'mor shamayim and kavod shamayim. Because basically that's what Chazal mean, that when you're mechabed your parents, you're being mechabed the Ribono Shel Olam. When a person has moro for his parents, he has moro for the Ribono Shel Olam, because a person recognizes that it's through parents that the Ribono Shel Olam channels his love, his chesed for us, and recognizing, again, parents as representatives, as it were, as emissaries of the Ribono Shel Olam to take care of us, so then it's only natural that Hishva HaKosuv Moroam Ukvodom L'mora Shamayim and Kavod Shamayim. And that's clearly the pshat in the Gemara Kiddushim of Yosef, Kishoma Kol Kari De'imei. When he would hear the footsteps of his mother, he would say, Eikro mitnei shchina da'asya. Let me stand up for the shchina which is approaching. So clearly that's one perspective, again, to be reviewed, reinforced, and Be'ezus Hashem ultimately internalized in terms of Kibud Av V'Em. But again, the less sound, less healthy the parenting is and the child-parent relationship is, the more difficult it's going to be to glimpse this and to rely on this hashgofa. So then there is another very basic hashgofa. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Chayei Adam talks about this in Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, and that is the Gemara in Erevin, whatever it means with Veshama and Beis Hillel, of Noachol Adam Shenivra, or not Noachol Adam Shenivra, whatever that means, notwithstanding, clearly, Kol Mado Ovid Rachman L'Tav Ovid. Clearly, it's axiomatic for us that to be alive, have been born to be alive, to study Torah, to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, is the ultimate chesed that could be bestowed upon us. There is no greater chesed than the gift of life. And again, that has to be axiomatic. Komado Ovid Rachmona Betavod Vayara Lukemes Koresha Osa Behine Tov Ma'od. So it's axiomatic that that's the ultimate chesed. And again, the agents, the human agents for bestowing that chesed are one's parents. That basic fact, again, even if that's not supplemented by anything else, is sufficient cause for a sense of gratitude which should be manifest in terms of Kibud Av V'Em. And again, the Yisod, which we know from what Chazal tell us in terms of Og, is that when one does a chesed, so one doesn't scrutinize motives. When one does something wrong, so then we scrutinize motives to try to perhaps downgrade the severity of the Avera. But when one does a chesed, so one doesn't try to scrutinize in order to downgrade or downplay the degree of gratitude, of indebtedness that one feels. So that hashkofa as well, again, of the chesed of being alive is another critical hashkofa in terms of the kibud of the aim. And finally, I just want to conclude that the Gemara in Makos says, at the end of Makos, where the Gemara quotes the different psukim from Nevi'im, about how in different Nevi'im we find that they identified certain yesodos for the Tayag mitzvos, that they can be grouped around, that they can be subsumed under or identified with certain yesodos. So ultimately the Gemara says that everything can be included in Tzadik v'Emunaso Yechya. That Emuna really is the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, what that Gemara means, and it's worth reflecting upon what we've been discussing these past weeks in light of this, is that not only is Emuna pivotal and indispensable, obviously, in Ben Adam Lamakom, but what that Gemara of Tzadik v'Emunaso Yechya is saying is that even a person's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, again, ultimately hinges on his Emuna. And these examples which we've been talking about in terms of what Hashkofa is it which allows a person to become a genuine Baal Chesed, what Hashkofos are they which allows a person, again, to seek to fulfill mitzvahs kibud av va'em, I think are excellent examples of what that Gemara in Makos is saying of Tzadik b'Emunaso Yechya. Both the Gra as well as the Baal HaTanya interpret the famous Gemara in Shabbos where the Ger comes to Shammai and then to Hillel, Gayireini kol HaTorah Kula k'sheni omed al regel achas. So they both correlate that Gemara with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that al shlosh advarim ha'olam omer al ha'torah, al ha'avod, al gmilas basadim. That what the ger was really asking was that I want it reduced even further. I don't want to know three pillars of the world. I want to know one pillar. So shamai dechafa ba'amas ha'binyan. It's al shlosh advarim ha'olam omer. What Hillel told him, according to the Gra, according to the Baal HaTanya, whether Rashi means this, the simple reading of Rashi is that he understood the Gemara differently. What Hillel told him, according to the Gra, according to the Baal HaTanya, is "Vahavta l'reacha kamocha, ma'adisoni loch l'chavecha l'savid." That's Kol HaTorah Kula ve'idach zil gemur. So how could he say that gemilas chasodim was Kol HaTorah Kula? Shammai was right. How can you reduce it to that? But again, here too, what we've been discussing, that one's emuna is pivotal, that one's emuna internalized is the driving force ultimately in being a real Baal Chesed, in being Mekayim Kibud Av Va'Em, allows one to understand what Hillel was telling this Ger. And in many ways, the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is more of a test of just how profound one's emuna is than one's Ben Adam L'Mokom. To stand a Shmon Esrei is very difficult. A proper Shmon Esrei is exceedingly difficult. That one's emuna is so deep, and one's anova is so genuine, that one transcends that self-centeredness, that creates the lens through which one views one's parents, is even a higher test of emunah, and that's what Hillel was telling the Gemara.